This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
So my man, Cole Goodwin, how are we doing on an early Monday morning, my brother?
Yeah, this actually is not as early as the mornings I've been used to recently, but doing great. Fighting allergies,
yeah.
And making it, so...
Yeah, you seem like the kind of guy that would get up early. Like, if I'm, you're, how old are you?
I'm 23 going on 74.
I was going to say, you are like, when I think of like an like a southern man, like country, like God-fearing family man that goes out in the woods and isn't afraid to drink a cold beer, but goes out in the woods and kills shit and plays golf and does all that, like, you're the guy that I think of, like, well, when I think of like a southern,
I'll take that as a compliment.
Because I feel like there's four different kinds of like things in that realm. Like there's your rednecks and hillbillies. There's kind of like your very far out there, like the white trash kind of stuff. Then there's like country, and then there's like southern.
Yeah.
And when I think of a guy like you, I think of like southern and country with a redneck side if he needs it to be. You know,
that's right. You can turn it on and off.
Yeah. Or
maybe not turn it off, but you know, turn it down a little bit.
Yeah. So you're from what's the, I've said it on stage before, yeah, when I've introduced you, but what's the town in Georgia?
Pooler, right
Pooler.
Out. Yeah, right outside of Savannah.
Right outside of Savannah, South Georgia boy.
South Georgia, southeast.
Tell us about your hometown. What's it like?
It used to be small town textbook, you know, walk in Walmart and know everybody there, but it is recently turning into the new Savannah.
So how it, so what makes it
expansion,
what's the,
man,
what's the sign of like a small town, right, becoming a big place?
I'll tell you,
what
I'll,
are the
I'll
signs?
Tell you when I knew we were doomed whenever we got a Tanger Outlets. We got an,
oh,
outlet mall, and because we're right on the intersection of I-16 and I-95, two,
yeah,
major interstates. And whenever they brought that, first it was Pooler Parkway, and then I remember when Pooler Parkway just had Walmart and Longhorn Steakhouse on it, and the rest was woods, and that was kind of my stomping grounds, me and my buddies. And then Pooler Parkway kind of expanded, and then whenever they cleared land to build the outlets and the Publix, then I knew that it was a change coming. So, and sure enough, it was, and we're giant now. So,
yeah, how many people are living in Pooler, Georgia? Because that's a town.
I'd say 35,000, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, and it used to not be that way. So.
Wow.
I think. Don't quote me on that. But.
And then, how far away is that from Statesboro? Because I know like Statesboro, Savannah aren't too,
yeah,
far from each other.
So I can be from my parents' house to my house in Statesboro in 50 minutes. 40 if I really try.
Yeah, 40 if you're really.
Depends on how bad I want to get there. Yeah, but
for those who haven't been, I've talked about it a lot before. It's funny. Everybody's always like, "Bro, why are you talking about Statesboro? You didn't go there. You're from New York."
They don't know, dude.
Like, I've been there enough to like see it. How would you describe Statesboro, Georgia, to an outsider, to somebody who hasn't been?
Well, I think kind of like anywhere, it kind of depends on who you get wrapped up with and kind of what you get wrapped,
yeah,
up doing. But because, see, I've got family in Statesboro, so I've been going to Statesboro since I was a baby. And, you know, we do Thanksgiving in Statesboro and stuff. So I get to see the tame, you know, easy living side of it, and I also get,
yeah,
to see the college side of it. But, man, it as far as the college life there goes, you just got to – I think you have to get in it to kind of be able to describe it and just feel it out. Because it's wild.
It's just,
and I don't know. I'm not necessarily a wild child, or you know.
No, you'll have a good time though.
Totally,
you're the guy at the party that's initiating the good time, not by drinking and saying something stupid, but by being the guy in the room with the guitar that everybody is listening to.
Well,
that strikes me like you know, like that's your kind of involvement in that world,
yeah,
right? Is being the guy playing.
I'm a low key dude.
Or playing at social, or
yeah,
playing at whatever frat house, or doing any of that stuff. So it's like you get to be kind of the centerpiece of the party. Because what blew me away is just how much live music, especially country music, is appreciated in that small college town.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and to think, you know, because, I mean, you look at Athens. Athens has what? God knows how many bars.
It's like 60 or 70.
Yeah, and
it's
we played Athens Saturday. And, you know, God knows how many bars and bands and jam bands. And everywhere you turn, you know, there's music going on. There's only really like 3-4 places in Statesboro that even host live music, and everybody loves it. So,
yeah, well, I feel like there's only 3 or 4 places that are in Statesboro, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's what? It's,
yeah,
it's Blue Room.
Blue
it's...
Room, Southern Social, Nat's Landing. They do the,
yeah,
acoustic thing. They have bands every now and then.
Yeah.
But, and then newer place, Nona Peachy in front. It's like a pizza place. And then Nona's Garage in the back. They have like a like outside, like arcade, outside bar, another outside bar, big stage, and AstroTurf with tables and stuff. It's really cool. We played there Thursday night, actually. It's a cool place.
But yeah, there's only the four places, but every place does live music.
Yeah, and everybody likes it. So
yeah.
Even the little restaurants. There's a little place, Dolan's Barbecue, one of my favorite places to eat ever. They they have live music like 3 days a week, maybe 4 days a week. But yeah, everybody loves it there.
Yeah, it's just in the water. Like, it's just in the history.
Yeah, and good stuff comes from Statesboro, man.
Yeah, dude.
Proof's in the pudding.
I mean, yeah, literally. It's like you can't talk. I always say it, and people are always like, why are you so passionate about Statesboro? I'm like, you got to go down there and you'll fucking understand. Like, it's, you can't talk about country music in the last 20, 30 years without talking about that small town. Not even in between, it's like a triangle, like I say, of like just degeneracy and just, but mixed in with like good hearted people, like just wild stuff. You've got your Statesboro, you've got your Valdosta, and you've got your Tifton. Mm-hmm. And those three to me are like a triangle of just chaos.
Yeah.
Some of the wildest nights that I've ever had as a tour manager have been in those kind of towns. But guys, like there's a wave coming up right now, and it's really cool to see coming out of South Georgia. We were put on you by, I was going to ask, I already know this isn't your first podcast. This is probably like your 20th podcast.
No, man, actually, I don't do a whole bunch of them.
Well, I'm saying the Josh Terry Show.
Oh, yeah.
You've done that.
JT.
Which, by the way, if people have not checked out the Josh Terry with Cody Wolf episode, all time, I give Josh a lot of credit for doing that. And Josh is the guy that put us
in touch. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because he's championed bringing guys up, like yourself, like your good buddy Will Mosley.
Oh, yeah,
like
Wilbur.
your good buddy Riley Anderson.
Yeah.
And then there's just a scene coming out, like, since I've been in town, thinking of the guys and girls that have come out of Statesboro, because I moved here 2018.
Oh, really?
So I moved here the same time as Dylan Marlowe.
Yep.
I moved here right about the same time. Shortly after I moved here was when Brian Fuller got here.
I know Brian.
Yep.
I know Brian really.
That's
well.
When Brian got here. Trey Landon had already been up here. And then shortly after that, Bryce Leatherwood comes up here. And it's like there's just this chain, now this new wave of guys like yourself. Guys,
I'm still like, dating Nashville. I'm not here yet. But.
Yeah, I know. I know you're not here yet, but I mean, like, but guys that are starting to pop up in the scene here.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know?
And I feel plugged in here. I do.
No,
I,
you definitely are.
Yeah.
You are for sure. And it's like guys like you, Will. Is Riley from that South Georgia area?
Yeah, he's from like Southwest Georgia.
Oh, closer to Bama.
Forgive me, Riley, if I got that wrong. But yeah, I think he's like maybe somewhere down here.
Okay.
But
yes,
in relation to me.
Another South Georgia guy. And then you've got like what Gavin and Landon are doing.
Yep.
Like Gavin Adcock and Landon Smith. Like there's just, and then there's kids behind you guys that you're like, are going to blow our socks away.
Yeah,
like,
dude, I got to give a shout out to one of my buddies, Ben Bates.
You have been talking about this kid,
dude,
lot. He played. He was on the show with you this past weekend,
right?
He
opened two shows for us this weekend, dude. He's a nut. He's only, I think he's 20, and he's like 6'10", I feel like.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Giant, but not that tall. But yeah, just a super good dude, way wise beyond his years, and very like in his own lane. I mess with him all the time. I call him a miniature Evan Felker. He's like,
awesome.
Very much traditional, like,
okay,
kind of Americana country. Like, I don't know, it's good. I like him.
How do you describe the different things of country music? Because you're definitely in that traditional lane, and you've gotten to go on tour with the guy who's kind of at the forefront of the traditional lane, Mr. Zach Topp, which we saw Zach at the Exit Inn this past week for that release show. And oh my lord,
unreal.
He played. Like, we've seen him, we were lucky, we got in early on Zach,
mm-hmm.
We had Zach on. The Razor Rowdy podcast with Nick and Kurt about a year ago. And I remember sitting on Nick's back porch roof thing that he's got at his house, which you know, because you record over there.
Yeah.
And we were sitting out there having cigars after. And Zach just has this energy to him where you're like, this guy just has superstar written all over him. Like
he knows what he wants. He knows what he's going for, and he knows how to achieve that, and he sticks to it. And that's what I respect about him the most, is that he knows exactly what he's doing.
And you're learning a lot.
Yeah.
Being on the road with him. And
totally.
You've been gotten to go to different parts of, it's been more than, has it been mostly just the Southeast, or have
yeah,
you
mostly
ventured?
Southeast, which has kind of all happened fast. It's actually funny. I was talking about this with my family this weekend, because we played Wendell's with him.
Oh, I love Wendell's.
Friday night.
Shout out to Jackie and the folks at Wendell's.
It was crazy. But
that little dance hall.
Man, you know, three months ago, he had no idea who I was. I knew I was a fan. I'm still a fan of his, but I, you know, I was a fan of his first. And whenever the TikTok thing kind of started happening, and I started teasing the single that's coming out in April or this month, he people started tagging him and my stuff, and then I was like, yeah, you know, that'd be pretty cool. And then the guys over at Peachtree put me on two of his shows, and we met there, and it's kind of we've kind of just hit it off from there. And he's texted me and you know asked me to come out to do some other shows with him. And yeah, man, he's just. He's so easy to get along with, such a nice dude, and like I say, I got nothing but respect for him and his craft.
Another young guy that's an old soul.
Well, and it's funny, actually, I have it on my phone. This is this is super cool, actually. This is the power of social media.
Yeah.
Curse and a blessing.
It is.
December 1st is when I posted that video, the song that I wrote. Somebody commented, at Zach Top, hit this man up. And then the same guy commented Friday night and said, love the way this aged. I'll be seeing you all tonight in Anderson.
I was
That's pretty cool.
That is amazing.
So, yeah, but, yeah, man, it been blessed lately. So,
you talk about, like, the different traditional styles of country music, like, because there is, like, that Americana world that, like, that folks dip into and that... You have like your Zach Bryan's and like your sad shit, and
right.
Then you have which is kind of like a little rootsy in that it's got that it's mostly that acoustic like storyteller stuff like
right.
Goes back to the roots of country music, and then you have your like key change '90s '80s style of country music, which is where like
twangers,
which is where you and Zach and those guys fall in. Like it's got to be a cool time to be coming up and like having your moment.
Yeah, well. I don't know about having my moment yet, but
well, I would say it's dude. The rocket ship is that's like the point where I see you. It's like the fire is starting to light up underneath the rocket, and the smoke's going, and it's just getting ready to take off.
Thank you.
That's
man.
Where I see like yourself, well,
thank
honestly.
You. Thank you, really. It's definitely a grind, and everybody told me, you know, if this is something you want to do, be ready to work twice as hard as all your friends, and you know, take twice as long to see results. But man, it's been really cool lately, and you know, obviously there's always a long, long way to go, but it, yeah, it's, like I say, been pretty overwhelming the past couple months with the things that have been happening, because, you know, 6 months ago, I wasn't doing near the stuff. I mean, I've been doing the whole, you know, music thing for 3 years now, and really, really grinding at it as much as I could while I was still in college, but, man, now that school's been out and I've graduated, it is definitely just a nonstop grind, and but it finally feels like the wheels are starting to turn, so like it's really cool.
Yeah, dude, and it's you've had music out for quite a while.
Yeah,
now.
it's been a minute since we released anything. I released an EP, five songs that I wrote back in March, end of March last year, so 2023, and I haven't released anything since then until this coming the 19th. So.
And it's like can you feel the change in the production and just the growth of your songs and as a writer and everything?
Totally, totally. Yeah, and I, which the EP that I put out, all those were like, I think two of those songs of the five were old songs, but the rest of them I like just kind of accidentally wrote in like 2 days' time. And they all kind of ended up making that project. But yeah, shout out Ryan Yeomans because he absolutely murdered the five that we just
Ryan
did
is one of my favorite producers in town.
Yeah, he's
and obviously I've got a lot of connections to him. He's kind of our landlord
at
our Razor Audi office, the house of Nikki T, and Muscadine Bloodline and Tyler Lessard. Ryan has a great ear for stuff.
He does.
And knows how to work with independent artists
totally.
And really collaborate on the sound.
Once again, proof's in the pudding, you know.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the song, dude. Ike's
Thank
been
you,
telling
man.
Me all about it too.
Thank you. Oh, Ike. Ike shot the cover for it. What was that? Must have been last month. Last
and
time
some
I was up
and
here.
Some content.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
You
we
that.
We knocked it all out in like an hour. He's the man.
We call him our content prince.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
And it's fun bringing him out on the road and like bringing him into like different bars and stuff because it's like Ike has it in him to like be a little bit of like a party guy, but he's so like quiet,
reserved,
and just chill. Yeah, reserved. Like you'll just see.
Yeah,
him.
He doesn't really get rattled about anything.
No, he really doesn't. Like we'll go. Like we've got our time on the road starts this week. We're going to Athens.
Uh-oh. I came from there yesterday.
The Georgia Rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Hardy, Young Gravy, Castellos, and Gavin. And we're bringing Ike with us to that. And we always get to, we have to get to town the day early, like a day ahead of time, to set up at the fairgrounds. And it's like the night before, we'll go out in Athens. Oh, yeah. And we'll bring Ike out.
Little generals.
That's what I was thinking. I was going to ask you, because I've been to Athens. I've done shows at the Gath. I've done shows at, it was Hedges. And then what the heck did it change the name to? It was another bar. I forget the name of it.
I don't know.
It used to be called Hedges. But
I'm not
it's
as familiar
else.
With Athens. Yeah. I have a sister that goes there. Yeah. But I'm never in Athens for longer than like 24 hours.
Yeah, we're
48
yeah,
hours.
We're, yeah, so we're going to hit that. And then the following week, and then next week, we go to Auburn.
Cool.
It'll be the fourth Auburn rodeo that yep. I've been to. And we go to Sky Bar the night before.
Oh, Lord. That place, I've heard that. I've never been there, but I've heard that place is absolutely
dude,
massive.
Dude, it's like you take Social and you take Blue Room and make it into one building.
Really?
Yes. It's the biggest bar in the South.
What they have what's called the Boom Boom Room or something?
The back room is a big stage, and it's crazy. They don't do original music back there, which breaks
really?
My heart. Yeah, it's all cover bands. So it's like Velcro Pygmies. It's
they're pretty sick.
Yes,
they're pretty good. Yeah, they're
it's
pretty
high,
sweet.
It's like a Broadway cover band with very high production, and really? Then they switch to a DJ, and it's like a club, and there's and a big balcony looking over. So Ike and I and myself, me, Ike, and Nikki, when we go down there, we stay up on the balcony and we just kind of look over at
people
the
watch.
Chaos. Oh, dude.
Dude, see, that's what, I don't like being in the chaos. I like watching the chaos from a distance.
Yes, like being up in like the sound, being up in like yes. the booth at the Blue Room or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly, and I don't know if we've ever seen each other at Blue Room. I know we've seen each other in Statesboro, but you won't catch me on the floor in Blue Room anymore. I'm always just like keeping an eye out.
Yeah, keep an eye out and do that. But it's funny because like Ike will just start like bobbing his head. Like I'm like I'm like we got
he's
we
locking
got,
in.
We got him a few beers deep. Like Ike's feeling good, and it's a lot of fun. It's cool that you work with like that. Our paths cross so much with like, the guys that you're working with as you're coming up right now.
Yeah,
too.
Totally. Small. Well, I've learned really quickly that Nashville is giant, but Nashville is tiny.
Yeah, the music.
If that makes sense. Yeah,
everybody knows everybody.
Yeah. It's crazy. Everybody I meet, I'm like, oh, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, I know so-and-so.
Yeah.
So, really cool.
And especially being a Georgia guy.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many guys. Because it's like a big fraternity, especially like the Georgia boys. And you've gotten to meet a lot of these guys now that have been doing it for a while, right? Like
yeah.
Like the Cole Taylors.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I wrote
that
with,
world.
Wrote with Cole last month.
Which, to me, that's the perfect guy for you to be writing with. Because that's
hey,
who
double
you
Cole action.
You remind me a lot of him, not just because of your first name, but like you remind like in that kind of world. Like there's so many different flavors of what's going on in Georgia right now, and it's like you're the guy that I see out. That I could see out on the golf course playing 18. Fucking
yeah. Well, I usually make it about 14, and then I'm done. But yeah, I do enjoy going and hanging out on the golf course. I'm just not much of a golfer, but
yeah,
totally. Yeah, I try to be, and I feel good about it on the way there until I take like three swings, and then
where was the last place you played in Nashville?
Because I've never played a round of golf in Nashville. When I've had like an hour downtime while I've been in town before, I've gone like hit on driving range or whatnot. But I've never played an actual round of golf in Nashville.
Wow.
But I'm playing actually with Josh Terry, playing a golf tournament with him on the 29th of this month, I think.
Oh, nice.
Up here somewhere. Old Hickory, maybe? Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. That's a nice golf course.
And they probably won't like me.
It's going to be you and Josh. Who else? Do you know who else is in that
course?
I'm not sure.
It's a, I think it's Creative Vets or something.
Oh, nice.
Something
yeah,
that
that's a good one.
Yeah, so I'm on his team, but
the Josh Terry
I don't know if he knows. I don't know if he thinks I'm good or something. But
yeah, he might just think like, "Oh, Cole's
this might
be good.
Like my one and done year with him doing this." Whenever he sees me, I don't know. We've played together before. We played in Alabama. We played actually the nicest golf course I've ever played. I've been with Josh. We played Gunnersville in Alabama back in the fall with Ike actually, and actually me and Will Mosley flipped a golf cart that day.
Oh
on
no!
Accident. Yeah, we screwed around all day. Like drifting and trying to jump stuff and just being menaces. And the last hole, it started like drizzling rain and it was freezing cold. And we were like, all right, let's go back. We're hungry. Let's leave. So we were actually being serious trying to get back. And it comes down this hill, cart path does. And at the bottom of it, it splits 90 degrees both ways. And you can either hang a right, hang a left. There's a giant pine tree at the bottom of it. And then it drops off like 30 feet onto like tee box. So we come down the hill and I like tap the brake, and I guess it was so slick it didn't break, it just started sliding. So I kind of looked at Will and we're like, what do we do? So I was like, I can either jump it off of this ledge, hit this pine tree, or just turn and pray. So I turned and prayed, and instead of it turning, it just locked them. And we flipped it and slid down the hill. You can imagine how tiny I am and how big Will is. We just slid down the hill together in a golf cart, and we came to a stop at the bottom, and he was like, "Dude, are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah, are you okay?" He was like, "Yeah." He was like, "Flip this thing before anybody sees us." So, yeah. Yeah, that one. We didn't do that though. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah. How did you first meet Will?
So me and Will, we graduated together from Georgia Southern. He was a marine biology major, I'm pretty sure. I was a marketing major, so we didn't have any classes together. But he started, you know, kind of playing around bars, and I was doing the same thing. And my buddies knew him, and his buddies knew me, so. Eventually, it was like, "Oh, you need to meet my buddy Will," or "Oh, you need to meet my buddy Cole." And I think the first night we really hung out, I went and saw him play at that place, Dolan's Barbecue. Went and saw him play there one night, and I think he showed up to a place I was playing. And then one night we ended up sitting by a fire together with like 20 people and trading songs. And from there we hit it off, and now he's one of my best buds. Actually, I talked to him last night. He one of my best buds. We wrote the single that's coming out that I'm releasing on the 19th. Yeah. We wrote that together. So
yeah, and he's obviously going through. Mm-hmm. A lot of career stuff right now with Idol.
Yeah, he's doing the thing, man.
That's got to be crazy. What was it like watching him on TV cool. And getting them and them highlighting his backstory? Like they don't
pretty cool.
Just
they make him look. They make him look good. They make him look really pretty on TV. It's really cool. But, yeah, it's really cool. I'm so excited for him. And if anybody deserves it, it's him. He's good as gold. So
yeah, and both of you guys getting to kind of come up at the same time.
Yeah,
and have this buzz.
Yeah, well, and it's really cool, too, because literally exact same timeline from graduation. I think we graduated the same week. We've been every time I'm in Nashville, he's in Nashville, except for recently. But, you know, we kind of been side by side doing the same together. And, you know, if I've got a question about something, it's, "Hey, Will, have you experienced this yet?" Or, you know, "What do you think?" Or he's, "Hey, have you ever met with so-and-so?" Or, you know, that kind of thing. So we get to bounce ideas off each other and just kind of, you know, ask each other for advice. I'm sure he'll probably say the same thing. I don't know anything, man. I'm winging it, but it's always good to have somebody I can ask, you know, that maybe has been through that already. But yeah, totally.
Yeah, and how is it different now? What was your first trip to Nashville? Was it with Josh?
First trip to Nashville was a few years ago, actually. I came and I had a couple old songs that I was thinking about recording and did them acoustic. Ended up not liking them, but that was my first. I came here for like 3 days, 4 days with my family. And it was very eye-opening, very cool. But I ended up not even liking the songs, so I didn't release them. And then I came back middle of last year, maybe the year before, and played one of Josh's rounds. And I think I've been coming every month since then. So I'm up here usually like the first week of every month. I get in on Sunday night and stay till I have to leave on Thursday to go play somewhere. So
yeah, where are you going? Do you know where you're going this weekend?
Yeah, so we've got I'll be here till Thursday, leaving Thursday morning to go play Eddie's Attic in Decatur with Peyton Smith. Then we've got Zydeco Friday night in Birmingham, and then Dueling Halls in Jackson, Mississippi on Saturday.
Have you been to Dueling Hall before?
I've never been to Mississippi. So.
Oh, you're gonna like it.
I heard there's good turkey hunting in Mississippi.
Yes.
So
yes, I've heard that as well. I don't know shit when it comes to turkey hunting.
Dude, I saw a turkey in somebody's front yard on the way here this morning and almost ran off the road. So yeah. I'm a full-fledged turkey.
Have you gotten
right
to meet
now.
The Muscadine guys yet?
I have not.
Because they're
I Gary, heard they're absolute turkey slayers.
Gary is I think they take a break. I think they're off the road right now for a little while because it's turkey season.
Right.
And Charlie will go and kill some turkeys as well. But Gary, I think, has killed turkeys. It's gotta be double digits now in terms of states. Like
really?
Last year he traveled to New Jersey. He traveled like he did the whole Northeast. And he was killing turkeys in like Maine, New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey.
Dude, I'll start shaking, man. You got to be careful.
Yeah, he's
no,
got,
I am.
Yeah.
I've never killed one out of state. Never killed one out of the state of Georgia. But yeah, I'm addicted to it. I'm fairly new to it. I've only been doing it 3-4 years. But dude, it's like I tell people, it's the only legal drug you can do. It's insane.
It's turkey hunting versus deer hunting. Why turkey hunting instead of deer hunting? Because I've never.
I'm a massive deer hunter too. But I grew up deer hunting, so I've deer hunted my whole life. That's what my dad did. My dad never thought about a turkey, and that's why I never got into turkey hunting. But I don't know. I love deer hunting as much as turkey hunting. I'm just glad I don't have to choose. I'm glad one's in the fall, one's in the spring,
yeah.
Because I'd be torn.
But what
really.
Is it about turkey hunting being
Dude,
the drug?
I think just it's a very vocal style of hunting. You know, you're listening for that gobble or you know, listening for hens or whatever. Man, it's visual and it's vocal and it's ground level. You know, you got to get them. I mean, the whole purpose of turkey hunting, I think, is get them inside 40 yards. You know, if you can fool one of the smartest animals in the Southeast to come think you're a hen, you know, within 40 yards and shoot them, I think it's awesome. That's one of them. That's what gets me going.
That's great. I want to get out there and go hunting. I've never been.
Next time you're in Statesboro.
Never. Oh, dude.
If you make it to Statesboro before the second weekend in May, call me. If I'm in town, we'll go.
I could kill it. That'd be a full circle Statesboro moment for me.
I took my sister last weekend opening day. She killed one at like, she doesn't understand this because it was on her second time going turkey hunting, but she like, anything you could dream of to go right on a morning in the turkey woods went right and got it all on video, 15 yards, heard like six different turkeys, saw two different long beards. She killed the boss Tom at like 15 yards, shot him off the hen decoy. I'm like, Allie, you don't get this. This doesn't happen. That's awesome.
And you're very close with your family. That's something that I've noticed. Like that, and I'm very close to my family too. And like the family unit is so important, especially in this world that we're in.
Yeah, man.
In being in country music and Nashville and all of that stuff. So you've got how many siblings you got? Is it the two sisters?
Yep. So I've got twin sisters. They are sophomores in college. One's at Georgia, and one's at Georgia Southern. Actually, the one at Georgia, Allie, she helps me with a ton of stuff. She's a music fanatic. But more so like, she can sing, she just won't. Both of them can sing, they just won't. But she's more so like the, very into the, you know, behind the scenes stuff, business promotion stuff. But yeah, she's taking classes in the music business program at Georgia and working an internship at the Classic Center there. So
nice.
She's all into it, loves it. But yeah, two sisters. So shout out Allie and Lacey.
What's the age difference?
So 4 years. I was a senior in high school when they were freshmen.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I've got a brother and sister that are twins.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. 2 years younger than me.
Oh, really? Dude.
So I guess cool. the whole double trouble thing and all that, it's a little different because it's like one's a brother, one's a sister.
Are they identical or fraternal?
They're fraternal.
Okay, mine too.
They're fraternal.
Actually, me and Lexi, the younger twin, we look more like twins than her and Allie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's funny how that works. Crazy. Yeah, it's like me and my sister Julie look more like
them. Really?
And my brother Chris is like blonde hair, blue eyes. It's funny. Yeah. It's funny how that works. But yeah, and then your family, like they seem to be very supportive with coming up here and like join you on a lot of these trips and make it like,
man, they followed me around all week. Actually, I've got, man, my folks back in Savannah and Pooler, you know, my family friends, my parents' friends that they grew up with, dude, they are so supportive of me, and I can't thank them enough. They followed me around all weekend this weekend. I came to Statesboro, played Statesboro Thursday night, came to that, followed me up to Wendell's, came to Wendell's. We had like 15 people come from Savannah, and then trucked it over to Athens last night. Was it yesterday, Sunday?
Yesterday was Sunday.
Okay, Saturday night we played Athens. They came to that too, man. You know, three nights in a row, all over the place. It wore me out. I know it wore them out. So, man, like I say, I've been very blessed.
I mean, they came all the way up here
to watch you.
They come up to watch you play the stuff at Live Oak, to watch you play Whiskey Jam, to watch you play our stuff over at Winners. Like,
yeah, man, it's pretty cool. Yeah, actually, yeah, Whiskey Jam, they were here. Yeah, that's right. They were here last time I was up here.
Yeah,
yeah, and because we left, thankfully, they were here, because I don't know if I'd have made it. We played Whiskey Jam that Thursday night. And then we left Nashville at midnight and drove
to Gainesville,
Florida.
I haven't really talked to you since. Like,
yeah, it's been busy.
How was that whole 24 hours and getting down there? Obviously, you made it down in time.
Yeah, we did. I swore I was going to sleep on the way there, and I didn't. I don't know. I can't sleep in a car. But yeah, we left here about midnight and drove, made it to Macon. My grandparents live in Macon. So we did stop in Macon for like 3 hours, 4 hours, and took a little nap. And then, made it to Gainesville, Florida by about 4 o'clock, and it was great. It was awesome. Sold out in Gainesville with Zach Top, and made it home. Actually, we left Gainesville that night after the show and got back to Savannah at, like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning.
I'm one of those guys that likes to, if I have the option to just leave, and if anything, like, if it's within, like, a 5-hour radius, even if it's within like a 6 or 7 hour radius, I've just done so many late night drives.
Let's roll. Nobody's on the road.
I'm like, let's just go. Especially like coming up like this week, like Ike and I are the one. It's Nikki and our friends Danielle and Jessa, who help us with selling merch. They're going to be in Nikki's vehicle because we have to take two vehicles to bring all of our shit down there. And they'll come back like the day after. They'll for sure like stay and get the sleep. Mm-hmm. But Ike will look at me and be like, we doing this?
Yeah.
And because Ike's down to...
I'm a homebody, dude. I like to get home.
Yeah, man. I like to sleep in my bed or sleep in my girlfriend's bed and like just be here in town. And it's like Ike will sit in the front seat. He'll stay up with me the whole time and he'll just edit on his computer.
Oh,
he'll have his hotspot or whatever. And he'll just be sitting there editing all the video stuff from the event that we're leaving and then have all the videos done
next day,
that night. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all about, well, I say I'm all about productivity, but I will procrastinate some. But yeah, man, I figure just roll. You know, I would rather drive at night. Nobody's on the road.
Yeah, so especially going
I can run 115 miles an hour.
Especially coming from Athens where you got to go through Atlanta.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd much rather go through Atlanta at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning than 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Totally.
Like, I'd much rather.
Especially most of those days are on like a Sunday, you know, after a Saturday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so this would be for Georgia, it would be coming back on a Friday night.
Oh, okay.
So for the Georgia Rodeo, be coming back on a Friday night after that. But we got to see how the traffic is coming out of that festival, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some of these events, it's like you have to wait 2 or 3 hours after the event just to get out of the damn parking lot.
Exactly.
You know? It's chaos and craziness. You're a big coffee guy?
Recently, yes. I've always liked coffee. Usually I just drink coffee during deer season in the wintertime when it cools off. But, man, anymore, I have like 4 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But
yeah, that's where I'm at.
All like, black, though. I don't spice it.
Really?
Anything. Yeah, drink straight black.
Just black from the gas station coffee?
Yeah, well, that's from the Christian chicken. That's from Chick-fil-A. But yeah,
The Christian chicken. See, I call it the Lord's chicken.
Oh, really? I call it both. But yeah, man.
Yeah, I didn't. It's funny. I didn't really get to experience Chick-fil-A a whole lot until I moved down here.
Really?
We have it in the Northeast a lot more now. But when I first was moving down here, we didn't have it in New York, New Jersey.
We
didn't have it as much as they have it down here, obviously.
I used to kind of talk down on it. Not like I did. I used to not eat it a lot. And I, you know, and where I'm from, we have an Arby's and a Chick-fil-A right next to each other. And every day I'd go, the Chick-fil-A line would be wrapped, you know, 3 times around and nobody would be at Arby's. And I'd, you know, I'd always talk trash, be like, oh, you know, no chicken's worth waiting in a line that long. I'm going to Arby's. And then I started eating it. Dude. I go like, dude, the other day, I swear, I ate it for breakfast, lunch, and supper.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've done that multiple times.
I'm hoping you have the app on your phone.
I didn't for the longest time, and then my mom introduced me to it, and now that I found out you can win milkshakes.
Oh, bro, the points.
I'm doomed.
The points change everything.
Dude, and I'm addicted to their, have you ever had their cookies and cream milkshake?
No, I don't normally get the ice cream or the milkshake.
And anybody that's watching this that knows me, they're probably like, oh, God, here he goes. But, dude, I'm telling you, you got to.
What's your order at Chick-fil-A for breakfast this morning? What are you getting?
I got a chicken biscuit with honey and hash browns and a coffee, black coffee.
And then are you a nuggets guy, a sandwich guy?
Most time I get number one, no pickles, because I despise pickles.
No pickles?
Yeah, I know.
You know they brine the chicken in pickle juice,
I know.
Right?
Well, I found that out, yeah, but I don't know. If I can stay away from pickles, I'm going to. But, yeah, I get the number one no pickles.
That's crazy.
Barbecue sauce. Have you ever had their barbecue sauce?
Yes.
I'm a
Chick-fil-A sauce guy. Like, I have
really?
To do the Chick-fil-A sauce for
I don't mind it, but, dude, the barbecue sauce. I'm a barbecue sauce connoisseur, man.
Really?
Oh, dude.
So where's the best?
I don't eat enough of it. I don't eat enough different ones anymore to know, to put my finger on, oh, that's the one. But, because I always end up grabbing stuff. Man, I eat way too much fast food anymore.
Well,
just being on the go.
You're fucking traveling.
And that's why Chick-fil-A is like, I end up eating Chick-fil-A so much because it's just a safe bet.
And
know?
They have it everywhere, especially while you're touring the Southeast. Every college town in the Southeast has a Chick-fil-A and a Chipotle.
Yeah, pretty much.
Every single one.
And if you gave me the option, I'm going to Chick-fil-A every time.
Yeah.
Between those two. So, no offense to Chipotle. I just...
Yeah,
I'm a Chick-fil-A dude.
How many Sundays have you just craved it and just
yesterday
it was open? Yeah,
on the way up here, dude, I was about to get off of an exit. I saw a sign and then it hit me. I was like, God, I'm losing track of my days again. But yeah, man, I've pulled all the way in the drive-thru before and been like, wow, they're not busy right now. And like, oh, it's Sunday. Yeah, pretty embarrassing. But no, man, yeah, I love it.
It happens. Are you a big sports guy?
I used to be. I grew up playing baseball from T-ball. All the way to high school, tournament baseball, year-round, all over the place, every single freaking weekend. And that's where I met some of my absolute best friends was doing that back home. And got burnt out on it, man. Whenever I figured out that I could play guitar and a piano and figured out that I could go deer hunting and fishing on the weekends instead of being on a baseball field every weekend, it was baseball kind of got put on the back burner, and then I was just, you know, a baseball fan for a while.
Yeah, do you still follow it?
I try to, man, but anymore, I'm just so big. Like, I got to watch, I think, one Georgia Bulldog football game this past fall. It's just, you know, the weekends anymore are definitely shot, and even during the week anymore, it's, like I said, it's such a grind, man, and trying to stay busy doing all this. It easy to kind of let that stuff get lost, so... I'll see highlights and stuff. I'll YouTube the Braves highlights and stuff. But
yeah,
other than that, man, I'm not really plugged in anymore.
See, I pay for the MLB TV.
Oh, really?
To watch all the Yankees games.
Okay. I forgot you're a big Yankees fan.
Oh, dude. Yeah, man, we got the fucking bobbleheads right here.
Oh, yeah, here I am looking
at them. I'm diehard. Like, if there's one team that I could watch, like, I like my hockey and my football and all of that stuff. Like, big, like, New York Giants, like, New York Rangers. Obviously, love that the Rangers and the Knicks are playing well right now. But if there's one team I could watch for the rest of my life, it would be the New York Yankees.
Really? You big basketball fan?
I mean, I enjoy it.
I've never got into it.
Yeah, like, the NBA, like, they always say, like, New York when... because I was born in 95, so it's, like, 94, Rangers won the Stanley Cup for hockey. The Knicks were in the finals for basketball. And then since then, like, the Rangers have been to the Cup, I think, once or twice since then. The Knicks have just been, since, like, the year 2000, have just been complete and utter dog shit for a long, long... It used to be, like, people wearing bags over their heads at the games, like, get rid of the owners. Like, it was... The Knicks were bad for a long time. But people would always say that New York is a basketball... town. And,
really?
I'm like, how could it not be like a Yankees town or a Mets town or this or that? But the energy that is in New York City right now with the Knicks, it is crazy.
Really?
Crazy.
Yeah, I never really got into basketball. I know everybody's been, you know, going crazy over the March Madness stuff, but I don't know. Never really got interested. Baseball, I like baseball and football. But that's about it.
Yeah. Well, it was funny too, like being on the road with Trey and with Muscadine, we used to plan sound checks, and obviously it was a night game, there's nothing you can do about that because you got a show, but like Saturdays on the road with them, we'd make sure that whatever venue we were in had the TV the Auburn Tigers football
game. Dude, they're
diehard Auburn fans. And then when I was with Trey, it was, we're in the bus and the Bama game had to be on.
Yeah, where's he from?
Trey is from Birmingham.
Okay.
And the Muscadine guys are from Mobile.
Okay, cool.
So
okay,
I've worked,
I got to go
to
Mobile for the first time back in February.
Soul Kitchen.
Yeah, play Soul Kitchen with Zach.
So it's funny, that room, so I love the folks down there. Mm-hmm. I love Mobile. It's a cool spot to be, and it's like a cool city because it has that kind of New Orleans feel to it.
Yeah.
It's where Mardi Gras happened in Mobile before it happened in New
Orleans.
That's
where they told us. So whenever we played there, it was like the week after all that.
Oh, yeah, everybody's recovering.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody kind of looked like zombies walking around. But, yeah, we met this guy, and he was kind of telling us all about it. It was really interesting. Really cool place.
Yeah, so that's where... So it's funny. Soul Kitchen is where Muscadine kind of got their start.
Really?
That stage that's in the front room that's like the merch area now, they used to play acoustic duo there. And that was
sweet.
Like their thing. And then Charlie had a show. I forget if it was in the front room or the back room. Just says Charlie Muncaster. And someone had linked him up with Gary, and Gary opened the show.
Really?
And that's how, kind of like how you and Will are, like, buddies. And turned out they hadn't really known of each other, and they grew up, like, a couple streets apart from each other.
See, how cool is that?
But, yeah.
The Strays are from right there, too, right?
Yeah, Red Clay Strays are from down there in Mobile.
Man, they're unreal. Like,
there's a lot of musical history that's come out of that town, but Soul Kitchen... Gary and Charlie used to say was like their Madison Square Garden. Like, they always want, and they've since sold out that back room a number of times over the years. But it's a cool. Was it raining when you were down there? Because it's always fucking raining.
It did rain a little bit.
I'm in Mobile.
It was definitely dreary.
I've been in the summer. I've been in the winter. I've been all different times of year. Every time it is fucking.
Yeah, we played
raining.
It in February, man. I feel like January. End of January, early February, I feel like is the most just like depressing time of year.
Yeah, everything's
dude, like,
dark.
Yeah, it's all just
it's gloomy, man.
You wake up, like, I just want to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it did rain while we were there, actually. I'll let you say that.
It rains every time that I am in Mobile.
Hmm.
Every time. And I want to get Nikki down there. Like, that's
he's
something
never been?
That's been. No, he hasn't been to most of the southern places, dude. I've been spoiled in that I spent 4 years on the road going all over the country that I've gotten to see. Like, all those clubs that you've named that you've played with Zach, I've been in all of those.
Oh,
I'm
sure, yeah.
Like, and is there one that really stands out to you? Like, obviously, I know playing a show in South Georgia is really cool and special, but.
Yeah, I am, which, and Zach's kind of doing the the club thing and the like listening room thing. You know, I played Eddie's with him. Played what was that place called in Gainesville, Florida?
High Dive.
No, it was gosh, I'm not gonna be able to think of it. Soundstage or Heartwood Soundstage.
Okay.
It's like it's a listening room, really cool. And those are it's kind of cool to see that like the difference.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because clubs, yeah, people bought tickets to come, but I mean, those club shows get pretty freaking wild.
Yeah.
And then the listening rooms are more like kind of just, I don't want to say quiet because they still get pretty wild, especially at a country show, but there's a little bit different energy, and it's cool to see both of them because I enjoy both of them a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's why, you know, I've learned a lot from playing these shows with Zach recently and kind of feeling everything out. But yeah, I loved Wendell's. Loved it. It's my kind of place.
Yeah, the first time I went to Wendell's, we had a rough, and I've told this story on here before, but like it was with Trey, it was Dick Down in Dallas times, it was 2021, COVID is still a thing in the rest of the country, but not in the Southeast.
Yeah, nobody cared about that.
Nobody cared, it was wild. But we had Ella Langley on the road. Ella spent a lot of time on the road with us opening up.
Really?
So it's amazing to see where she's at now and everything. She's like our little sister. And she would travel in the van with us.
We'd
be in Trey's 4350. And there'd be 10 of us piled in there counting Ella. And we'd be, every row would be busy and be packed up. But we did Milledgeville, Georgia, and Anderson, South Carolina, back-to-back nights. And we had a time in Milledgeville. It was chaos where the night just got out of hand. We had a bunch of issues that night.
I think you told me about
this. Yes, I told you that story. And then the next night was Wendell's. And Wendell's, we had a girl pass out in the bathroom we had the bar packed, and it was like something with like the permit that they had for at that time was to like be a restaurant, because you know it's a small place.
Yeah,
but we probably had like 600 or 700 people in there, and it was like they were running on like a restaurant license. And there was a girl passed out. She ended up not being old enough to be in there. So the cops came, and then were like, "Well, you guys are supposed to be a restaurant. What are 700 kids doing in here?" And it was just building up, and like Ella was up there opening solo acoustic, and somebody threw a beer bottle at her,
missed her,
but just wild shit. And then we had to stop the show. Like the show had to get canceled, but Trey got up there and played a 10-minute version of Dick Down in Dallas. And then we did a meet and greet out front, and it was just like a guerrilla style meet and greet, just chaos, no help from anybody. It was just a wild night.
Yeah.
And I've been to Wendell since then, and I love Jackie and the whole team that's out there. But
we didn't have that kind of night the other night.
No, and we had them back-to-back nights, and it was like a trailer tire getting slashed in fucking Milledgeville. And
oh, yeah.
Driving up to
Anderson.
Yeah,
you did tell me about that.
Yeah, dude. It was a wild, wild weekend. But then we've been to Anderson. I haven't been back to Milledgeville.
Oh, really?
I haven't been there since...
haven't been to Milledgeville since... Shoot, last September. I opened 3 shows for Austin Snell.
Oh, how was that?
Really cool. Austin's a great dude.
That's a different kind of vibe for you too.
Yeah, and he, you know, he's a Georgia boy.
Yes,
from Dublin.
Yep.
And yeah, it was him and Lauren Watkins, and I opened the first 3 shows of that tour, and you know, nothing but good things to say about them.
You've gotten to open for a bunch of people now. Like you've gotten to not just open, but open consistently with people. Like
do full
runs of shows, not just be the local.
Yeah,
opener
I've been blessed, and it that's kind of how I've made some other connections with other people around town, and it's just through, you know, being on the road and meeting with those people, and hey, you know, meet so and so, or hey, this is so and so, or hey, this is Cole, you know. So that kind of thing has been really really good to me, and like I said, I can't thank those people enough for having me out to do that stuff.
Yeah. Now you're having like your Instagram bio, like believer, like you're a man of faith. And
yeah,
stuff.
Totally.
How important is that? Because I grew up going to church, and like I was an altar server and usher. Like I was involved in the Episcopal Church and stuff. I've been in like a church for like weddings and funerals and stuff since then. But like it's just not something that's in my life personally. But I know down here, obviously, like the Bible Belt and like all of that, like it's a very powerful thing.
Yeah, it is very important to me, and always has been. But you know, it obviously being gone every weekend, it's hard to get in church consistently.
But I'm sure you're still reading scripture on your phone.
Man, I got the Bible app, you know,
stuff.
Yeah. The Bible app, it helps me a bunch, and it and you know, I'm sure everybody that's started out doing this stuff knows that man, there's so much that goes on that doesn't get, you know, brought to light that, like, you could fall into. And which, and I haven't, because I'm very strong-willed and stubborn and stuck in my ways. But man, anything that I can, you know, keep in the back of my mind to keep me grounded, I'm gonna do that. So yeah, the Bible app, it sends me, you know, verse of the day every day, and you can click on it and read that whole chapter, you know, that came from. So and highlight that and make little notes. So
yeah,
even if and I still, you know, whenever I'm home, like I went to church last week, and I've been good recently about going on Wednesday nights in Statesboro. My little sister goes to Georgia Southern, and some of her friends and some of my buddies are still there. And I've gone the past couple Wednesday nights with them to church. But yeah, if I'm in town, I try to make it, but it's hard to make it on Sundays anymore.
But with all the stuff going on in your life, like, it's happening right now. Like, Cole Goodwin, the country singer, it's happening. Like, this is a glimpse into, like, your future, and you think you're busy now, but, like, where you're having to make these decisions and having these meetings, how important is having that faith and having that
very important, man.
That belief system just in yourself and just guiding you through everything.
Yeah, I don't sleep much anymore just because there's so much going on the past few months, you know, so much to think about and so much to navigate through and balance. And it's been an adjustment. I end up tossing and turning all night laying in bed, but man, my parents told me, you know, if you can just lay down and close your eyes, just talk to God like he's a friend, you know, you can drift off to sleep, and it does. It's true. It helps. That and NyQuil. So, yeah, man, Jesus and NyQuil. But
Jesus and NyQuil.
Yeah,
there
but
you
go. But yeah, man, it's very important to me and always will be. So, I try to keep that, you know, above everything, because without it, you know, what are we? So
yeah, especially in the world today.
Totally.
There's a lot of
chaos in the world. If any time, you know, needs it the most, it's this time. So yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Does that factor into, like, your songwriting? Like, I feel totally, like with your writing, you write songs that I've shown your stuff to my girlfriend Erin, and, like, it's stuff that I can play in the car with her and her daughter Charlotte.
Totally,
and, like,
man.
It's just wholesome music that makes you feel good. It makes you feel something. Like, if you're writing, like, a heartbreaking song, like, it, like, your style of stuff is so, like, for country music fans, it's that essential. Like, there's no questioning if Cole Goodwin's country, which I hate.
Thank
that
you,
whole
man.
Argument of, like, this ain't country, this ain't that, blah 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 blah. Like, I hate all that shit.
Yeah.
But it's like, your stuff is, like, clearly, like, you're a country music singer and songwriter.
Thank
there's
you, man.
No denying that.
Thank you. I try to just write what I know, and, you know, I try not to be anybody else. I tell people all the time, there's nobody else on this earth that's better at being Cole Goodwin than I am. So
yeah.
I try to own that, man, and just hone in on it and be the best that I can be, you know, the best version of myself that I can be. But yeah, I don't know. I just am who I am, and I try to portray that through my writing. But and I write a bunch of stuff by myself. I'm still, you know, fairly new to the whole co-writing thing.
Yeah, what's that been like? Because I'm sure, like, you've written with Will, and, like, you've written with,
yeah,
like, your boys back home. But there's nights where you're out in the woods, or you're, yeah, driving alone in the truck.
Man, I T-Swifted a lot of times. You know, I'll end up sitting on my bedroom floor, just, like, sitting on the corner of my bed and, like, hash one out. Or I get man, the shower is a great place to get ideas.
Yeah?
But, yeah, dude, I can't tell you how many times I've had an idea in the shower and, like, jumped out and dried off really fast and, like, wrote half a song or a whole song with, like, water dripping out of my hair and stuff. It's crazy, man. I don't know. And it's crazy where inspiration comes from and when it hits you. But, I've learned you definitely don't want to turn a blind eye to it, or, you know, push it away. When it comes, you know, let it happen. But I'm very selective about who I write with. I've learned that, and I try to make sure that it's kind of in my lane and kind of what I want to do. And Will is one of those guys that we always end up in a room together.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're from essentially the same area. Down in Georgia, but anytime we end up in here in town together, we always end up in a room together, and I think that's so funny. But and it's funny how you kind of gravitate towards those that you're comfortable with. But yeah, man, I've been really blessed, and the people that I have written with have been so good to me and so welcoming. You know, Ray and Cole, those guys.
Yeah,
what
was the first interaction with those guys like? Because as a as a country music fan, because at the end of the day, you love this stuff.
Yeah,
like
totally.
You are a country music fan, and growing up in Georgia as a country music fan, you've heard of guys and looked up to guys like Ray Fulcher, like Colt Taylor, like John Langston, Jordan Rager, Dylan Marlowe, Red Akins, Dallas Davidson, like all these guys. Now getting to be in a room with them and
totally
having them give you props, like what is that? What was that first interaction with? We call Ray Fulcher Payday Ray.
Oh, right.
We call him Payday Ray. He's been in the Ray's Rowdy family for a long, long time.
Cool, yeah. They're just, you know, just down to earth guys, you know, Georgia boys, easy to get along with, you know, welcomed me right in, and you know, they didn't have to do that, you know, little old me, you know, they didn't know who I was, and I showed up, and I think we had the room for like 2 hours, and we talked about turkey hunting for the first 30 minutes, and then Cole had an idea, and we hashed it out in like an hour and 15 minutes. Dude, he's so quick. He's just like, you know, just rattling stuff off. But I tried my best to keep up. And, that, you know, you can learn so much from being in a room with two just master classes like that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing it again with him. But
heck, yeah. You got rights this week?
Yeah, got one to actually when I leave here, and then another one tomorrow. So then I don't know what I got Wednesday.
Who you writing with today?
Today, Jack Hummel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Have you met him before?
I have not. No, he hit me up on Instagram.
Jack's a good dude.
Really?
Jack's
he seems like
a
it.
Good dude. Tell him that you did this. That you did this podcast.
I did.
Before.
Yeah, I told him. I was like, man, I'm gonna try to make it on time. I was like, I'm coming straight from Matt's podcast.
Yeah, we've known Jack for a long time, and he's a good dude and knows what he's doing. So I'm
cool.
Excited to hear what you boys come out with.
Cool. Yeah, I try to kind of, you know, I try to Instagram stalk people that I haven't met yet.
Dude,
man, he seems like a great guy.
Dude, it's funny. Like, it shows our age difference a little bit. Like, I was the Instagram DMing and all of that, especially when you're out of town. For me, it was Facebook Messenger.
Okay.
I was a Facebook Messenger.
I'm so bad at Facebook Messenger. People tell me all the time, they'll see me, they'll be like, dude, I sent you a message on Facebook three months ago.
You're living in a small town.
Facebook
is as big as the Google machine in
a small
town. Facebook
and actually,
is
you know, it's funny you say that. I still use Facebook a lot. Actually, that's how I keep up with my parents' friends.
Yeah.
And I'm probably a bigger Facebook fan than I am Instagram fan.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't know, there's so much, you know, BS on Instagram and whatnot, man. Facebook's just real people that you talk to on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So I love getting on Facebook, but yeah, anytime I'm like meeting with somebody and I know their name, I've talked to them on the phone, but I'm not exactly sure what they look like, I'm gonna go to Facebook and type in their name, see if I can get a image to put to them. But I love Facebook.
It definitely helps, brother. Where are some spots in Nashville that you've enjoyed going to so far?
Which I'm sure you know, Josh, Terry, and then they always give me a bunch of mess because I don't stay out with them late. But
well, even the places, like,
yeah,
I'm talking about.
I'm a big Live Oak fan.
I'm talking about like the places where you've gotten to play or like hang out or gotten to network or.
Yeah, I love chilling at Live Oak. That's my speed.
Yeah,
just being able to just chill, you know, and essentially in the grand scheme of things around here, be quiet, you know, and kind of just low key and hang out and visit with people. That's my kind of thing. Because, you know, even back home, I'm not out shoulder to shoulder in a club, you know, partying. I'm at the local watering hole, you know, sitting on a bar shore, sitting in a booth, you know, talking to three buddies.
Yeah. What are some food spots you like up here? Have you gotten to go out and do a bunch of that yet?
Chick-fil-A.
Jeez, you got to open your horizons, boy.
I know, man. I know. No, we ate at a place. Me and Will and his guitar player, Benji, we ate at a place last time we were here, man. What was that place called? It was a barbecue place.
Was it Martin's or Edley's or?
I think it was Martin's.
Martin's,
dude.
Yeah,
it was.
Tennessee's got some good barbecue.
Yeah. So, and I love barbecue.
Yeah, you're gonna. That's something you should turn into your content when you're out on the road.
Barbecue.
But because you're going to all these different towns in the Southeast and every place.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, like, when we were, there was I think 2 weeks straight when I was out with Trey where, like, you get, like, your catering or, like, the venue, like, provides the food.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to all these different small towns across the Midwest and the Southeast. And they were like, man, we got the best barbecue that you've ever had.
Everybody says that.
You're about to eat the best barbecue in Milledgeville, Georgia. You're about to eat the best barbecue in Jackson, Mississippi. All these towns you're going to,
really put it to the test.
There's hole in the wall barbecue joints. you should just start going and trying the different barbecue.
Hey, don't put it past me, man. If I've got time.
When you're at the barbecue joint, what are you getting?
Most time, pulled pork sandwich is always
You're a pork sandwich guy. Yeah. And then what are you getting on as your sides? What are your fixings?
I mean, obviously, fries is a safe bet. It's just kind of boring.
Yeah, but you can get that at a McDonald's or a Chick-fil-A or anywhere
else.
That's
why, man, whenever I'm at a barbecue joint, I love if they've got, like, baked beans or something.
Yes.
Dude, that's right up my alley. Yeah, a pork sandwich and baked beans and, a sweet tea. And I don't mean, like, just a sweet tea. I mean, like a curl-your-lip sweet tea. Like, you know, taste the sugar sweet tea. Dude, that's my jam.
Yeah, you should be going to all these small towns and just trying the different barbecue.
Yeah. That's a really good idea.
Because that's you.
Yeah, and I'm sure that my guys would be totally on board with that.
Yeah, I'm sure they would be down to stop at a barbecue joint. I mean,
that's my biggest thing. Like, whenever I meet a new person, it's like, if you don't like barbecue, chances are...
we're not going to get along.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can be cordial, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. If we don't have barbecue in common, do we really have that much in common? it's...
What's a piece of advice you'd give to someone that is... starting, you've been doing this now for a few years, but you're still not even like fully up here yet. And there's so many guys and girls that are in that situation that may not have been blessed with the opportunities and done the legwork that you've been able to do so far. But like someone listening or watching back home in XYZ small town, and they're starting to do the thing and trying to figure out if they want to start taking trips out here to Nashville.
Yep.
What's something you would tell that
person?
I
love this question, man. Like I said, I'm still new to it, and I'm still learning every time I'm here and every day, even when I'm back home. But, my biggest thing and the thing that I always tell myself is stay true to yourself. You know, be stubborn, be yourself, and don't be afraid to be yourself, and don't care, you know, what other people think of that. And don't rush it, man. Make sure you know who you are before you go putting yourself out, you know, to the public and to other people.
So who is Cole Goodwin?
Man, I that's a tough question. I am who I am, dude. I got nothing to hide. I'm not a big flashy person.
No, you're very much not, and that's something that I know a lot of people, because I've had people ask, like, you're in the Raised Rowdy family.
Yeah, you have, man, been totally.
Since, you have been since we met you, and we've had some good times together, and we've had a lot of people kind of circling around being like, hey, tell us about this Cole Goodwin kid. Hey, tell us about this guy. Tell us about what he's got going on. What do you think of Cole Goodwin? I'm like, well, you got to see him play. You got to, like, his stuff speaks for itself. And I'm so excited. Tell us about this new song you've been working on with Ryan.
Yeah, dude. I did five with Ryan. And the first
five
one,
songs. Yeah. Let's go.
Did five. And beautiful. The first one's coming out this month, April 19th. It's available for pre-save and pre-order right now. But 2 weeks, I think, is the 19th. And that's when it'll be out. It's called When You Get Home. Me and Will wrote it in Nashville back in November, and just kind of like accidentally wrote it in like 20 minutes. And we played it for two of the guys that were hanging out at the Airbnb, and one of them happened to video it on the back porch, put it on TikTok, and it got like 100,000 views overnight or something.
Wow.
And I suck at TikTok, and I'm like, whoa, like that is sick. So, and then I posted on my TikTok, and it did really well, and people were like, man, cut it. And ever since we wrote it, man, it just felt like one of those, you know, there's those songs that you write that you never get tired of playing, never get tired of singing. And it's one of them, dude. I love it with everything in me. And it's so, I mean, it's a heartbreak song, but it's so my speed, dude. You know, old classic sounds. You know, we've got a steel guitar and it got a fiddle in it. And I just love it, man. So we did that when we finished it up earlier this year. And he knocked it out of the park, dude. Everything that I had in my mind, he captured that. So it I'm so excited about it.
Now what's
and it's opened so many doors for me already, and it's not even out yet. Man, people, it's crazy. I feel like every day I wake up, somebody else has covered it on TikTok. It's like, it's insane. And people have been singing it back to me on the road, you know, 4, 5, 6, 8 hours from home, which is insane to me. You know, doing these shows with Zach, and every night to be able to look out and see people that I don't recognize, that, you know, I don't know them, and they know my music, you know, from social media, is insane to me, and nothing but a blessing. So,
you know, tell me about the song that Nikki T and Mama Bear.
Oh yeah,
are
so, so I think that's the second single that's coming out after this one in a few months or a couple months. But yeah, Down in the Country, I wrote it by myself one night in my garage at home at my parents' house, and fell out in like 30-45 minutes, and I was so excited about it. actually, we my whole family was home that night, and it was late. It was like after midnight. I was in the garage writing it, and there's a line in the second verse of that song. It says, talking about it like a cornfield. It says, first dip, first. Shit, how does the line go? First dip, first kiss, first. I don't even know the line off the top of my head, but I just sang it right off the top of my head, and immediately I was like, heck yeah, like let's go. And my sister came outside. She was like, you okay? And I was like, I'm good. I was like, I promise I'm good. So, yeah, man, I'm so excited about that one. I wrote it all about, you know, my past 4 years in Statesboro and kind of doing that thing. And it, yeah, it's true to my life too. So I'm really excited about it. But yeah, Nikki T and my mom, at the end of the second verse, it says yeehaw at the end of it. And there's like a big group yeehaw. And it's really just like 20 different vocal tracks of my mom and Nikki T screaming yeehaw. Yeah. So shout out them too. But yeah, I'm super excited about it.
That's awesome, bro. Well, dude, I appreciate you taking the time to come on.
Man,
here.
Thank you.
And you're somebody that we really believe in, and seeing good guys like yourself winning and seeing what you're doing, seeing what our mutual buddy Will Mosley's doing, and seeing it all just kind of grow from when we had first met you to now, and where it's going to be this time next year, you know, like where it's going to be a few months from now. Like you've put in a lot of hard work, and
totally.
Good things happen to good people, and you happen to be a great person. So
thank you, man.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
Hey, likewise.
Coming.
Likewise.
Dude, yeah, we appreciate you and love that you rep our stuff, and love that you're somebody like we think of like our raised rowdy kids, and you're one of them.
Man,
you're
not the it's easy to rep good people, man. It's easy to support and rep good folks.
Awesome,
so.
Man. Well, that's amazing. We appreciate that. Where can people go to find you and plug the single one more time?
Yeah, man. Cole Goodwin Music, Goodwin, not Goodman. A bunch of people tend to get that
Goodman.
Tend to get that confused. Yeah, they call me Goodman, but
well, you are a Goodman.
I try to be. So hey, I guess, you know, hey, I guess. But yeah, Cole Goodwin on Cole Goodwin Music on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff, and Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere you can get your music. April 19th is when the single's coming out, available for pre-save and pre-order now. So super excited about it.
Heck yeah. And what's the name of the single again?
When You Get Home.
When You Get Home.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I'm so excited for it.
Shout out Josh Terry's dog, too. He's on the cover. Yeah, the cover art is Josh's dog. Last time we were up in town, I was like, man, I need a Basset Hound or a cool-looking dog for the cover of this thing. Because the first verse talks about, you know, sitting alone on the couch. And the second verse talks about the dog not recognizing the girl anymore because she's never around. And I was like, man, I need a dog and a couch. So I got the dog from Josh. But yeah, man,
awesome.
we're pumped for it. So,
that's awesome, dude. Well, I appreciate you
coming.
Thank
you so much, man.
Y'all be sure to check out our boy, Mr. Cole Goodwin. You got shows still coming up, too?
Yeah.
You got more stuff on the road?
Yeah, we're out next few weeks, and then we kind of peel it back a little bit. You know, when festival season starts, we're kind of peeling it back a little bit, and I'll be around home for a while playing a bunch of acoustic stuff and soaking up a little bit of summer fishing. But
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, but definitely staying busy. But, yeah, we're on the road for the next few weeks. Like I said, out with Peyton Smith this weekend, and then doing some headline stuff after that, but
let's go.
Super stoked. Are you going to be at Gatta Jam in Statesboro?
I will not be.
Okay, because I'll be there hanging out.
Because I think there's something else going on within the festival thing where we're at another.
Gotcha.
Event.
Yeah, I know that's kind of when everything picks up. But.
Yeah, I forget where the heck we're at. I forget if we're in Key West or we're at the Auburn Rodeo. What's the weekend of Gatta Jam?
The 20th, April 20th.
Yeah, we'll be in. Auburn,
okay.
Or Opelika, Alabama,
oh, yeah.
with Parker McCollum and Flatland Cavalry. So,
cool, man.
Which will be a cool one. But y'all be sure to check out our boy, Cole Goodwin. New song coming out soon. Y'all be sure to pre-save the heck out of it. It'll be out by the time this podcast comes out, because I'm like banking podcasts right now.
Oh, heck yeah.
So the song will be out by now. So y'all just go and stream the hell out of the song.
thank you.
And be sure to check out our boy Cole Goodwin. Thank you guys, as always, for watching, listening. For more on us, you can visit RaisedRowdy.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and tell your mama and them. And be on the lookout when we have Cole playing our event in town, or if you're down in the southeast, it's worth the trip to Statesboro to go and see him, or wherever he's playing. We believe a lot in this kid and happy to call him a brother and a friend. Well, for my man Cole Goodwin, I'm Matt Barill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make